Support this podcast via our Patreon and get more writerly goodness. Visit patreon.com/nanocast to join up.
Welcome to The Questions, episode 445. Today we have feedback and a question from Grace, who says, I just listened to your high concept episode and it brought to mind the small concept book. A few years ago, when I was submitting to agents and editors and receiving rejections, they said they were looking for bigger books and that mine were small. Not small in size, of course, but in concept. Would you share your thoughts about small books? I continued writing what I write, and I know I've touched many readers who feel the heart of these small stories. Even though they are far from world-shaking, they are deep in emotion and the human condition. Is this what makes them work? What else makes them work for readers?
Well, Grace, I think you're really hitting on it. The small, intimate story allows for the exploration of things that the high-concept story doesn't often do. It's not that it can't. It's that that's not its feature. People who come to small books come expecting sort of the French art house film experience. And by that I don't mean nihilism, surrealism, hopelessness, and post-structuralism. I mean they're coming for that intimate slice of life feel, the sense that you're inhabiting someone else's world and that when you come out of it, you've come out of it understanding something about life that you didn't go into it understanding. High concept books don't normally appeal to people who are looking to come away from something with a feeling of understanding. Now, you can mix these. Some of the best, most effective high-concept books and movies are the ones that mix in the small really well. And it's not easy to do, but it can be done. But before I get into that, let me talk more about places where you can find small books. Small books that are really good. Of course, there's a whole genre of these called the cozy mystery, which are small books that are also generally light entertainment, though not necessarily. They marry the light entertainment part of the high-concept book with the small, intimate setting and feel of the small book. And that can be quite effective, if nothing else, because of its immediate relatability. Lots of crime novels do tend to have the small feel about them, as do a lot of crime stories. Even if there is a plot going on, you're generally watching it all through the eyes of a very small group of people who aren't necessarily in a position to affect the flow of events in any concerted or major way. They're not in lever positions for power. In film, you can see this in, say, for example, Pulp Fiction or The Usual Suspects as an example of crime films that are married to a small concept. Now, when you bring the small and the large together, you've got the potential for some really great stuff. In fact, the only really successful disaster films and disaster books are ones that have a small heart and a large concept. Independence Day, for example. Just rewatched that the other night because I needed a smile. One of the things that struck me about watching Independence Day, which I hadn't watched for, this is the 1996 Alien Invasion feature. One of the things that struck me watching it this time that hadn't struck me before, partly because I hadn't watched it in like 10 or 12 years, was that you had all this big stuff going on. And like a traditional disaster movie, you had all this big stuff going on and you had a bunch of people experiencing it in their own small ways. Some of them were in big positions of power and some of them weren't. But what made that film really effective, what made it last, were so many of the other disaster films that even the same team of Emmerich and Devlin haven't lasted in the cultural consciousness like this one has. What made it effective was that all the small stories were really important. They took moments out of what should have been a big and nonstop bang-up action blockbuster film to linger for 5 minutes here, 10 minutes there on the story of the grieving father and the dysfunctional broken home and people trying to find each other and the romance of the estranged couple and the difficulties in the relationship between a father and a son and their disagreements over religion. These little stories, which are all affected by and wound up in the big story, made the big story meaningful to the audience in a way that Say, for example, the Transformer movies have never been and never will be, and it's one of the reasons that they're not going to last very well. There is a lot for writers to learn from small books and small movies, regardless of whether you're writing low concept, which is what these are, or high concept. You want the small books, the small stories, the intimate stories. These really reveal the things that hook audiences, the sorts of issues and dynamics that vex humans at their core. Shakespeare's plays have lasted because every single one of them is high concept, told through a small concept lens. That was Shakespeare's secret. Every single one of those plays is something that you could market as a blockbuster if it were written in contemporary language. But every single one of them is seen through the eyes of people who are flawed and whose struggles, whose internal struggles we become familiar with. It's the internal struggles that really make a low-concept book work. I do a lot of small books in short story form. I've only done a couple of them in novel form, or approaching novel length. The three that leap to mind are Down from 10, Smoke Rings, and A Ghostly Christmas Present. Oh, and Bodies in the Basement. That's not a lot, but almost all my short stories are these small kinds of stories. You can learn a lot from these. Read these stories and watch the kinds of films that are built around the same kinds of stories. Small independent art house films, particularly from the 1990s in America and from the 1960s through the current era in French independent cinema. Really, really effective, beautiful emotional storytelling that hooks you with its quiet. There's an art, there's a really amazing art to hooking an audience with quiet thoughts. And if you can accomplish that, if you can learn that trick, then whether you're writing low concept or high concept, you're going to be able to hook and keep an audience throughout whatever book you're writing. Now, commercial publishers, just like commercial film studios, they love the high concept books. They love the high concept because they can pitch that. One man against the world. One man and one woman against one monster. That kind of stuff. You can pitch that really easily and have a broad sort of surface level appeal. You'll bring in a wide variety of people to the theater or to the bookstore. And if they don't like it, doesn't matter so much because they paid their entry fee and that's what matters, right? They were looking for something interesting, diverting, light entertainment-ish. Some writers that do almost exclusively high concept. James Clavell, Robert Ludlum, Lee Childs, Michael Crichton, and Nora Roberts. They do almost exclusively high concept. They don't screw around. Stephen King does a little of both. Stephen King tries to marry the two, but he winds up more frequently on the high concept side of things versus the genuine mix. These are all people to study for how to execute a high concept novel well. If you're looking for the intimate, the small, look at Dorothy Sayers, Agatha Christie, Sue Grafton, and although they're short story writers, Saki and O. Henry, the American short story writers from the late 19th and early 20th century, and Edgar Allan Poe, all really amazing at the small, the intimate, low concept type of book. And you can find a lot of stage plays. Arthur Miller and Virginia Woolf, both amazing at the low concept, intimate sort of storytelling, whether it's on play or in book. And I, for the life of me, I've seen so many Virginia Woolf stories as plays, I can't for the life of me remember whether she wrote novels or plays as her primary form, but she was fantastic. For those that effectively mix the two, there's a really nice wide field, but I would look first at Ken Follett, who does these amazing high-concept stories using low-concept storytelling approaches. It's one of the reasons he's been a steady and utterly dependable bestseller ever since he broke out with The Eye of the Needle in the early 80s. And if you read some of his stuff before that, it's all very small, intimate stuff. He basically took that small, intimate aesthetic and brought them to vast, large canvases. Who else does that well? Believe it or not, although she might get mad at me for saying this, Gail Carriger does this extraordinarily well. She comes up with these crazy high-concept ideas, and then she relates them in a very close, intimate, fun, constrained way. And it's one of the reasons that her books are so charming and so much fun. And they stick in the mind very well. Robert Heinlein was also very good at marrying the two. All of his novel-length stuff works this way. There's three reasons he lost a lot of readers late in his career. One is that he explored all sorts of weird areas of sexuality that make everybody uncomfortable. A second is that his politics were all over the map, but they were very strident, and he had this rhetorical gift that allowed you to believe that whatever character had a strong opinion was basically the author's ventriloquist dummy. Sometimes that was true, and sometimes it wasn't. And the third reason is that he kept getting more and more interested over his career in the intimate comedy of manners style of storytelling. So the later in his career you get, starting from Rocket Ship Galileo going forward, the more of the book is dominated by conversations rather than action. And where it works well, it works extraordinarily well. And even where it doesn't work well, you can find a lot of stuff to learn from. So he was a good model as well. On the other hand, if you want to go high concept right out from the beginning, everything Philip K. Dick wrote, now that I'm back in the genre wheelhouse, everything Philip K. Dick wrote is high concept, even when he was in stories where there was only one character. Because Philip K. Dick was interested much more in the workings of human consciousness than he was in the workings of the human heart, so to speak. And so all of his books explore high concept stuff, as well as all of Frank Herbert's books for similar reasons. There's so many people who mix the two really well. And I'm only coming up with that really short list of those three or four. So if you've got any writers to recommend who I have forgotten or whom I may not have heard of, please send them in, because that middle of the road, that marriage of the high concept to the low concept, the intimate storytelling to explore big plot concepts and like blockbuster type scenarios. That's a really special kind of writing, and it's one worth studying. So do send those in. And now if you want to be studying the intimate kinds of writing, I talked about French film and independent film. I want to send a special shout out to Krzysztof Kieslowski. His Decalogue, his Three Colors trilogy, and his Double Life of Veronique are all fantastic. Very watchable, even for people who don't like French art house films. They're just wonderful, wonderful movie making. Wonderful storytelling, and much of what he does translates directly to the page. So thank you very much for sending the question in, Grace. I hope that helps. And it's a side of storytelling that we tend not to hear a lot of, so I'm glad for the opportunity to talk about it. Thanks much, and I'll see you tomorrow.